I'm a big fan of McCann's Meats, McCann's Local Meats. The 2x2 by 2x2 is especially high ranked, in my opinion. That's probably my number one go-to sandwich in Rochester right now. I also really enjoy Cedar on Monroe Ave, which is a, I believe, Lebanese food place. It's extremely good.
Yeah.
Then I really like Nosh, which is a upscale restaurant with a whole bunch of cool stuff on the menu, including a tomahawk steak that's about the size of your midsection. It's pretty substantial.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Matt Harp. Matt, what's going on this evening?
Hey, Ben. It's a nice Monday. Just got through a big snowfall and starting to wind down from the day.
Yeah, yeah. It's officially snowing in Rochester. It took the first month of 2021 to get snow, but hey, we should be used to it by now, right?
Here we are.
And listen, I'm just excited to have you here. I hope that you get to do most of the talking because you are ultimately a startup, you know, a mentor, advisor for startups. Started like 30 plus tech companies, I think you were telling me. So you've played a role in the growth of an incredible amount of startups. Were you going to jump in there?
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I didn't start all 30 of them. I've only started about 10. And the other 20 to 25, I was an advisor on.
Got it. So you're an advisor, you're a mentor. But I find it hilarious. You just said I've only, you know, started 10. Even that number is quite impressive, you know.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's been you know, a big part of my life, and I really enjoy it. And I look forward to talking about it more tonight.
Yeah, and I want to work into your newest endeavor, but we'll touch on that in a little bit. Let's talk about what got you into this industry of, you know, advising tech startups to as being a mentor, and maybe a story or two. I mean, working with 30 businesses, starting like 10, it's incredible. I mean, did you start when you were 2 years old? How'd you pull that off?
Not two. No, yeah, I've been at it a long time. So I started my first business when I was around 13. I was actually just talking about it the other day. I was hired over the summer to build a computer lab for a school. It was actually a school that I used to attend. So a friend of mine and I got together and we built out an entire school's entire computer lab. Networked all the computers, installed all the operating systems, and that's something that I started at very young. I learned to code when I was about 6 or 7 on a very old computer, and apparently, I didn't know this until recently, but I had one of my parents just tell me this. We used to spend our mornings installing operating systems at the breakfast table, so I had a pretty early brush with kind of turning technology into business operations. So that was my start. And then when I was around 16 years old, there were a lot of people who were building fun things out of like Flash applications and things like that. But I dove really deep into web development. And I started building websites professionally, over the summer when I was 16. And I've mostly been involved in education and technology since then, in some capacity.
Yeah, impressive track record. You're one of those guys that started young, and your momentum's obviously incredible. Tell us a story or two about starting up a business. Is there anything I've heard of? And I guarantee there's businesses that are working behind the scenes that maybe I haven't heard of. Do you have an example or two for us?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell an interesting kind of failure case study.
I love those, honestly. I love them.
Great. So I might be able to tell you too then. I like talking about my failures. So when I was 25, I was part of a school that was started up in the Rochester area, and it was an extension of a Minnesota branch or a Minnesota company. So there was a Minnesota parent company that had, I think, seven schools that they had started up within the state of Minnesota, and were looking to branch out. And they tapped me. I had previously been working in the educational space, opening up tutoring centers for Monroe No. 1 BOCES, and kind of running them through a combination of business management and doing some education work as well. So I got involved with this company and very quickly moved into kind of the COO type of role. I forget exactly what my role was for the Rochester area, but I was doing kind of director of education or assistant director of education work, and then handling all the operations. And it became clear within the first year and a half that that company was going to be insolvent if they held onto the Rochester location. So they shed a Rochester location entirely. And at that point, I was faced with kind of an interesting career decision where I could either stick with that particular company that had been established as part of a Minnesota branch, or could branch out on my own. So what I decided to do in that moment was to branch out on my own, kind of moving away from the previous parent company, and founded another school that operated on many of the same business model principles. It was a hybrid online school. So this was, you know, almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago, before anyone was really talking about online education on a day-to-day basis, but founded a hybrid online school during that time period. And then acted as the CEO for that company for several years, was involved in some kind of the educational practices and paradigms, and then teaching a lot of leadership practices during that school operation. So that was a ton of fun. I guess I could tell a little bit of the story of how I left that school as well.
Sure.
Which is that I jumped ship to go work on a rapid growth tech startup. And that rapid growth tech startup took me away from working at the school, which was relatively stable at the time, and put me in a position where my future was very much dependent on the future of the tech startup. And that went entirely sideways within about 6 months of me making that decision. And I had to make a jump from there as well towards some more stability. So I guess a series of a company failing, me jumping ship over to something that was relatively stable, and then I got to build up. And then jumping ship again to something that was a little bit more risky, and then finding out that kind of failed and pushed me towards a trajectory of some stability as a result as well.
Good stuff. And wow. So any other great success stories that you can point out? I mean, obviously it doesn't always work out. I find it great hearing failure stories, because I always look at it, you know, successes, failures, they're still bricks in the home that I'm building. I like that analogy. It doesn't matter if it's a failure or a success, as long as you use it as a tool for growth. You learn a lot from it. But I love to hear the success stories, because they're just more optimistic. So let's hear some of that.
Sure. I started a company with my wife that was a joint web development, marketing, and advertising design agency that was called Robot Elf. We ran for several years, and we don't operate under that name anymore, but it was a ton of fun. We picked up a couple advertising clients, including we did the online marketing campaign, digital marketing campaign for the Backyard Burger Festival, which was a festival that ran in Manhattan Square Park in Rochester. I think this was about 7 years ago now. But that was a ton of fun. I got to do a mixture of, you know, web design stuff, doing some corporate branding type of work. So that was a very fun experience. And we operated under that name for quite a few years. Different kind of priorities in life have taken us into different kind of similar lines of work, actually, but not picking up new clients underneath that enterprise right now.
Gotcha. And because you're currently working on a new project, I want to keep in touch with you, because, Matt, we talked a little bit on an introductory call. Fascinating stuff. So I want to keep in touch, because it seems like you'll be starting another company in 3 to 5 years. Who knows? But right now, your main focus is Techiner, right? Let's talk a little bit about that. Introduce that to us.
Yep. So my main focus as far as kind of startups that I'm working on is Techiner. I do also work a 9-to-5, which I should mention. Okay. I work for Paychex as an enterprise architect, and that's something that I'm very proud of, and I very much enjoy my day-to-day work there. But you're absolutely right. I am also working on a potential high-growth tech startup. The name of it is Techiner, and the idea of Techiner is that it's an open innovation experience in your pocket. So anyone who has a smartphone can jump on, punch in, either go to techiner.com or any other way you want to get to it. Eventually we'll be on the App Store. Currently we're just deployed as a web app, which you can access again at the URL techiner.com. The idea behind the application is that there are many people in your neighborhood or in your nearby community who have a great idea for a business, and it's fundamentally undiscovered. So Techiner is looking for new founders or people who are potential founders who want to convey more of the information about their idea. An example might be in the neighborhood I grew up in, there was kind of a corner store that always turned over. Nobody could really figure out what to put there. And the idea for Techiner is that you could put your idea for a store that would be something that would be a stable business enterprise in your community, put it into the Techiner app, source it out to people who are in your community, and have them decide, vote, you know, yes, this is a good idea, or no, this is not a good idea, but decide whether there would be a market appetite and a product market fit for your business idea within your community. So it's early feedback loop for people who are creative types and looking to start new businesses.
Gotcha. So ultimately, it's a way to survey the community and get some data analytics on, you know, whether the market actually wants your product or not, or am I missing the point?
Yep, that's a good way to put it. And then at the same time, you're kind of challenged to come up with a good tagline or a good description of your company in a way that attracts people's attention. So if you have the ability to write a good business profile or a good way of advertising what your business is, you might get more eyes and more attracted votes to your business idea that then results in you having a stronger indication of people who have an appetite for your idea. So yeah, you're dead on. It's a way of assessing interest in your idea while also making sure that you're putting a good message out there that people want to attach to.
Got it. And I'm curious, Matt, are there competitors in the market? And the reason I ask that question, if there's competitors in the market, is have you tested the idea of Techiner on an application like Techiner?
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing to do, right? Yeah. So it is a little bit of a self-feedback loop. So you're right that there is kind of like a funny thing that happens there. There are some competitors to the idea of Techiner. So there are, especially for high-growth tech startups, there are competitors you can get on Gust or AngelList where you can put your idea out there. And especially if you're looking for funding, you can have those types of discussions. One of the ways that Techiner is different is that it's both earlier in the process, so much closer to the ideation stage, and less focused on rapid growth tech startups. So it's more intended to target some of our partners in the Venture Jobs Kitchen, people who are coming through and are someone who wants to improve their plumbing business, or someone who wants to improve their neighborhood by putting in a corner store, which was the example I gave earlier. Or maybe someone who has a special type of restaurant that they really want to gauge the interest in their community. They're going to put in, you know, I don't know, an Asian Creole fusion restaurant. That sounds kind of good, yeah. Right? So can you position your idea in a way that would garner the interest of all the people in your neighborhood before you ever attempt to launch it or get funding or anything else?
If I already have a business and it's already running, can I still use Techiner to ultimately look up, you know, what kind of slogan I want to do, what kind of specials? Can I use it for pretty much anything then?
Yeah, and anything that you want to figure out if you have an idea that will transmit well to the people who are going to be looking at it. Absolutely. It's really a feedback research tool. I kind of jokingly have put it out there a couple times that it's really a way of taking your ideas and see if they could have a good dating profile. So like if you made a good dating profile for your ideas and it gets a bunch of clicks, then that's what you might want to use Techiner for.
I love it. If anything, you might have a great idea, but not know how to convey it properly. So similar to a dating profile, you might be a stand-up dude, a stand-up lady, but if it doesn't look good on the profile, if it's not refined and you haven't gotten feedback from your community, you could be looking like a total schmuck and not even realize it.
100% true.
So you're big in ultimately the Rochester startup community, and it's something I don't know much about at all. I'll be honest. I'm not a part of the tech community. Probably wish that I was, right? Because with RIT and U of R and these great education and business schools, tell us what is the current, you know, forecast in the tech community? Is it bigger than we think? Tell us a little bit about the community here.
Specifically in Rochester, it is bigger than most people think. And a couple months ago, I kind of started the process of trying to prove out exactly how big it is and how much of an appetite there is for people who are having technical discussions. And I apologize, you might hear my dogs coming home right now. If you do, many apologies. So the tech community in Rochester is surprisingly big. The startup tech community in Rochester is surprisingly bigger than most people would think. And there's quite a few people who are having entrepreneurial discussions on a day-to-day basis and are interested in kind of the entrepreneurial futures of our area. There's a whole subset of people who view entrepreneurial revival as the future of our city. And people who have grown up here, which I grew up in Rochester, look at the history of Rochester as mostly being embedded in the futures of large corporations, are looking to these smaller entrepreneurial focused tech companies, or in general, smaller entrepreneurial companies, to become a backbone for success for the region. And there's people who are talking about that on a day-to-day basis. So there is kind of an undercurrent of people who are in that space. It's not always very visible. It tends to happen kind of off inside conversations rather than necessarily driven by a big corporate event or something like that. Sure. But it's actually quite active. There's conversations happening on a weekly or daily basis about exactly these topics.
That's great. And so I'm not part of the community, and imagine a lot of the listeners might not be part of the tech community, but they might be students, business owners, so on and so forth. Where should they start? Are there Zoom networking events? Is there a Slack? Is there any way to sort of push my way into the community, find a mentor, and get things started?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple different ways. One is I'm very much an advocate for the Rochester area community. I'll give more of my contact information at the end of this, but you can feel free to email me at any time or look me up on LinkedIn. I'm happy to make introductions there. There are a couple other channels that anyone who's of interest can join. So there's a Western New York Slack channel, which is focused on the Western New York startup community and on bridging some of the community advocates between the Rochester area with some of the community advocates from the Buffalo and Syracuse areas. And the Rochester to Buffalo connection is relatively strong in those channels. I spend quite a bit of time interacting with a handful of individuals who are from the Buffalo region, and we have some great conversations on that front. There's also a series of open coffee clubs, which are interesting conversation starters where people who are entrepreneurial minded or have started their own companies or are working for a small startup join on a weekly basis and have relatively wide-ranging conversations about their entrepreneurial activities. And there's a couple different ways to get connected to those. I'd be happy to facilitate a connection. So the best way to get involved might be to shoot me a request on LinkedIn. And I'm there under Matt Harp, MattHarp, or you can put in my full first name, Matt Naniah, MattAniah, and you'll be most likely to find me. And I'd be happy to connect anyone to those communities.
That's great. I know I usually save it for the end, but we're on topic. If someone wants to email you, maybe go to a website, anything like that, how else do we keep in touch with you?
Sure. So LinkedIn is probably the best way to get me. I'm very responsive on LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn inbox is not yet overwhelmed, so maybe this will be the thing that does it. But you can also email me. My email address is my full first name and my full last name at Gmail. So Mattaniah, MattAniah.Harp, H-A-R-P, at gmail.com. And you can also look me up. My website will have all of my contact information. My website is mattharp.com, mattharp.com.
I love it. And you can help just about anybody with a big idea, right? I mean, imagine, again, this is me and a lot of people. I've got big ideas, but I don't understand the engineering or the technical side of things. Can you basically put me in the right position to get it done if I have a great idea but don't know how to implement it?
Well, there's limits to my knowledge. So I would say there's a lot of times where I can push towards a certain direction or ask the right questions. And there might also be other times where I would say, here's a person who you should talk to about how to vet your idea further, or maybe to align your idea with a particular portion of the industry with which I'm less familiar. But yeah, I hear new ideas from people on a weekly basis. I'm happy to do that. And please feel free to throw an idea my way. In many ways, that's exactly what Techiner is. It's the idea of being able to throw an idea someone's way and then get some feedback from them. So I'm all for that.
I love it. I've got about 45 ideas that I've been, you know, sizzling up, but we won't go over them all right now.
Okay.
Talking about Rochester, you said you're a native here, born and raised, or?
Yep. Born and raised in Rochester. I lived in Rochester for all but 5.5 years of my life. So I'm 34 right now. I grew up mostly in the 19th Ward near Rugby and Arnett Boulevard. And then when I was either in the summer, I was 12 turning 13 or something like that, moved over just south of the Swillburg area. So I spent some time living in different parts of the city. As an adult, I've lived on the west side and on the east side. So I've seen a little bit of everything, and I live downtown as well. And I've gotten to experience a lot of the different great things that I think Rochester has to offer that sometimes fly a little bit under the radar. And I'm happy to talk about those.
Yeah, we should. I ask this question a lot because I always like to talk about Rochester, and I like to get feedback. And it really reaffirms my love of Rochester when people get feedback on the things they love about our city. But not focused just on the city, you know, Rochester and all of Western New York. Where do you go just for fun, man? Do you have hot spots? Do you have favorite places to dine, music, travel, anything like that in the area that you'd recommend?
Yeah. So absolutely. I'm very motivated by sports and food. So those are probably the two things I'll give recommendations on. So I play hockey at the Bill Gray's Iceplex on a regular basis. That's a lot of fun. And I play soccer pretty regularly. There's a pickup soccer league. Or it's not even really a league, a pickup soccer game that I've been going to for about 12 years now, which is a ton of fun. A whole bunch of people from a wide variety of different cultures, speaking a wide variety of different languages, and we all get together. And I don't think it's like a secret or anything like that, but it's at Buckland Park in Brighton. And we've been doing that for, I think, 12 years or so, which is a ton of fun. And is a great representation of kind of the different types of people that you can meet across the city of Rochester. It's very cool to be part of. As far as food, I'm a big fan of McCann's Meats, McCann's Local Meats. The 2x2 by 2x2 is especially high ranked, in my opinion. That's probably my number one go-to sandwich in Rochester right now. I also really enjoy Cedar on Monroe Ave, which is I believe, Lebanese food place. It's extremely good.
Yeah.
Then I really like Nosh, which is a upscale restaurant with a whole bunch of cool stuff on the menu, including a tomahawk steak that's about the size of your midsection. It's pretty substantial. I think that's what I put up my top sports and top food for right now.
You're making me hungry, man. Cedar is great. I think it's a newer restaurant, to my understanding. But I love the Mediterranean Lebanese food: Sinbad's, Aladdin, Cedar.
Yeah,
definitely a great place to live if you like ethnic dining. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also increasingly becoming a great place to live if you like food and beer combos. So I should also mention, like, Other Half is in the region. K2 is really high up there as well. I had a really good IPA from where was I? It's What's the Scenario, but I'm forgetting where it's actually from. But this is increasingly a well-known beer region. And from the last survey that I saw, we were in the top five beer regions in the country. So props to Rochester there as well.
Wow. I've known our beer is good, but I didn't realize that we were getting national recognition for it. Other Half, Mortalis. I love Three Heads and everything about the culture behind their beer. And yeah, it's a great place, man.
Yeah, there's actually a funny story that Other Half went on record about. They were interviewed and they said, "So how does Rochester feel about you bringing your great brewery up there?" And they said something to the effect of, "No, you've got it backwards. We're really excited to go to Rochester because of how solid their beer environment is." So it's, you know, we have some pretty big credentials when it comes to making good beer.
I love it. I kind of want to take a step to the side, but it is almost like, let's just drink and have a beer and have a casual conversation kind of question.
Sure.
I'm curious where the ideas come from. Have you always been a guy that just has, you know, great ideas and wants to implement them, like a serial entrepreneurial type? Do you ask a lot of questions with people and basically get feedback on these ideas? Does it happen while drinking a beer? Does it happen in the shower? Where do all these ideas come from where you're starting 10 businesses, you're facilitating the beginning of over 30, you're in the midst of creating another one? Is it something that comes naturally or is it something I can learn? I know I just asked like five questions, but feel free to answer any of them.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think there's a lot of great questions there. I think the core one is kind of where do ideas come from and how did I get tapped into that from an early age? And I think that's a really cool question. So I think that is a big part of who I am. I think I am kind of an idea guy. I had a coworker request a bunch of information from me, you know, last week, and I sent it over to him. And the next time I met with him, he told me that I was an idea factory. And I've had people tell me before that I have like a dizzying amount of ideas coming out of me all the time. And I think I've been that way since I was very young. I've talked to my parents a few times about it. And they said I always was able to see things that other people could not see and was always able to build things that other people could not build from a very young age. And I think that's actually a part of what I do for a living now is kind of seeing what people can't see and building what they can't build. But I think that came from a wide variety of influences. One is I was encouraged to be creative from a very young age. So when I was like 4 or 5 or 6 years old, I was always drawing things or making up new cars or building things with Lego sets and things like that. So I had tools that I was given to help me express my imagination. And then I also spent a lot of time like absorbing information from books and then thinking about it in my own way. So I would read something, but then I would kind of add a twist to it and make it my own. That led me to, you know, be very creative in terms of the things that I would make, I think. It also led me to feel like I wanted to write my own book or things like that, which is something I did this last year. I wrote my first book. And I think that was built into me from a relatively young age. As far as where ideas come from, I think there is a skill that can be learned to kind of get out of your own way, kind of check out and let a lot of the things that you're thinking about regularly fall away and then see what comes to your mind from a position of complete blankness. And I think that's something that I learned how to do pretty young as well.
Wow. Tell us about this book. I didn't know about that. So you're a published author. What's the book about?
Sure. It's called Rise, Fundamental Patterns of Servant Leaders. And it looks like this. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's relatively short, but it's kind of I had a friend look at it once and he said that it's kind of a stoic meditation, which is a good way to describe it. It's kind of a stoic meditative journey through how you would think about servant leadership. And servant leadership is kind of a model of leadership where when there's not a clear vision of where everyone wants to go, we point to something like a common goal and kind of all gradually move towards that common goal. So it's an interesting model of leadership. And the approach that I took was to say, what are the patterns that are productive in following that model of leadership over time? And then how could you put that into kind of a meditative journey?
I love it. Wow. I've always been a why guy, and I believe that if a community of people have a common why, the actual product or the rules or the culture they create is not really the focus. It's the focus is creating, you know, good commonality, a good common goal. So I'm probably, how do you get the book? It's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble.
Yep, Amazon and Barnes and Noble. You can get it as an ebook or you can get it as a physical book. It's called Rise: Fundamental Patterns of Servant Leaders.
Very cool. I hadn't heard that term before, servant leaders. So it's really serving the community as a whole. Define that for us. I know you kind of did, but I'm still a little unclear.
Yeah, so the best way to think about servant leadership is it's the model of leadership which follows, I view this way, so not everyone will agree with me, but you're kind of a Sherpa when you're guiding, right? So a Sherpa being the person who kind of helps climb up a mountain along with you, right? So rather than being a person who's standing at the top of the mountain saying, you know, here's pathway one or steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 you need to take, instead you're the person who's helping carry gear, you're the person who's helping set the ropes, right? So you're very much a helper as you're leading. And while you are doing that, all the people who are climbing the mountain with you are finding their purpose or are finding their pathway alongside you, right? So that's kind of a metaphoric way of describing servant leadership. There's people who have spoken about it quite a few times, and I've given a couple presentations on servant leadership, but that's a good, very condensed way of describing it is servant leadership is leading by being the Sherpa.
I love it. So when you're advising a startup company, when you're helping a tech company grow in those beginning phases, you're being a servant leader in conjunction with their leadership to make it all ultimately to get to the top of that mountain to be successful.
I think that's probably fair. Yeah. I think that when you're in an advisor role, very often you're being the servant leader. You're asking big questions. Sometimes those questions lead to changing course, right? Just like a Sherpa might ask, you know, do we really want to go this route or do we think it's safer to go a different route? A servant leader would do the same type of thing. There's a lot of questioning and having the people around you be part of the answer rather than necessarily telling them the answers that they would need.
Mm. I love it. I want to read the book. I'm wondering where does this knowledge come from? Are you like me where you binge on podcasts and, you know, take video courses or you're an avid reader? What are some recommendations if I were to want to dive into servant leadership, dive into the tech industry, dive into leadership in general? Where does your knowledge come from? Any mentors or recommendations you have?
Sure. So I did have some great mentors. I should mention two of them who have been very impactful in my entrepreneurial life, especially recently. So one was Nasir Ali, who was with Upstate Venture Connect and was one of the first kind of entrepreneurial mentors that I really had a strong connection with. The other is Ben Gibson, who is a former CTO and director of architecture for Kodak. And both of them have been very helpful in kind of having mentorship style discussions with me and kind of fleshing out my different philosophies about what it is that I wanted to do with a business or what it was that I wanted to do at a particular portion of a business life cycle. They've been great mentors to speak to. When it comes to where I learned about leadership, quite honestly, where I learned most of it was from life experience. So when I was starting up schools, I actually kind of sat down and had these introspective or reflective moments where I said, if I was a young student who was coming through a school, what would I want to learn about leadership? And then I would kind of ask myself, what did I personally experience through the course of my life that I could teach to a younger student? And I went through the process of building a leadership academy. And as I was building that leadership academy, I was kind of taking notes on what was helpful and what was productive and what I could give as a mantra or a short saying for people to follow and hang on to during the course of a day or over the course of a week or maybe embed it into longer cycles in their life.
Love it. Wow. I need to read the book. I know everyone at home needs to. And you seem like you are the wealth of advice. I mean, you're willing to talk to someone, even if they're new to an idea, they haven't started a company yet, they can come to you and ask a few questions, right? And it seems like you have the right connections to make sure that they're in the right place, even if you don't have the exact answer for them.
Yeah, and I there's many times where I don't have the perfect answer, and that should be expected. I'm a human being. I'm finite. I don't know every single answer, but at the same time, I love talking to people who are starting up companies. Sometimes I get met with very early rough stage ideas, and I'm happy to give advice on how those could be a little less rough. And sometimes I'm met with very mature ideas that are about to go to market or about to get funding or something like that. And they're just checking a few boxes, and I'm happy to talk to people like that as well.
Love it. Love it. Happy to have you here. I want to move to the simple, just easy or rapid fire round where I ask you, you know, either, I think I just said easy or, but either or questions. Long day. We're filming this on a Monday night, baby.
Yep.
Either or questions where you can fill in the blank, but basically just short answers to get to know you a little bit more.
Sounds great.
Awesome. We talked about beer. So beer or wine?
Beer.
Do you have a favorite brewery?
That's a good question. I would be hesitant to actually pick one out, but I really like War Horse, and I really enjoy K2, which is Rochester local. They usually have a great selection on tap, and I really enjoy K2's food as well.
Yeah, great sours at K2, I noticed. They're always coming out with different sour flavors.
Yep. Yeah, I got some of their sours in the fridge right now.
Awesome. Love it. Are they open for seating?
I believe so. I think they have somewhat restricted seating currently due to the COVID restrictions, but I think they have indoor seating and then tent seating outside. I don't know if that's weather dependent. Probably
sure.
Is.
No, I asked because I haven't been there since COVID hit. And now that it's on my mind, I want to go there now. That's beside the point. What about iOS or Android?
Oh, that's a tough one. So I prefer iOS for the stability and security, and I prefer Android for the freedom. I've developed applications in both the Google stores and the Apple stores. I'm increasingly a kind of privacy and security advocate. So I am drifting back towards the iOS camp a little bit more, but I've been in both camps for a long time. I own both.
So iOS is better security from your understanding, or?
I would say it has a corporate entity in Apple that is very likely to fight for security of privileged information a little bit more strongly than what is currently an open source representation for the Android community. So if you're someone who's looking towards kind of the future of major corporate entities complying with regulation from federal government entities, Apple will probably be more of an advocate for privacy and security than the current open source Android model.
That makes sense. When you're developing an app, is iOS more difficult than Android?
It depends on how you develop it. There's a lot of good tools now. I would say getting a app into the store for iOS is more of a challenge. It usually takes between 3 and 5 weeks, whereas getting it into the Google store or onto an Android app, you can usually do it within 3 days. But the actual development portion, if you're developing directly in native code, it can be a little bit trickier to go between one language or another, depending what you're familiar with. But many people are developing on top of Cordova or PhoneGap or other tools that make it so that you build one code base and then it deploys onto both ecosystems.
Right, right. Sounds like a great tool.
Yeah, Cordova is close to industry standard now. It's something that I've been working on top of for a long time, and I still enjoy working on top of it. So props to the Cordova guys.
Yeah, props to Cordova. Matt, you've been fun. I apologize for being a beginner. This is one of those days. This is where I'm actually kicking myself for not being able to talk here.
No, you're doing great.
I'm a beginner, brother. I know nothing about programming and creating apps. You know, the tech, it's beyond my skill set. And I'm wondering if there's other people like me. What should I ask you if I had known a little bit more about your industry? Is there anything we missed? Any last things that you can kind of, you know, knowledge that you can give us on the industry and maybe some optimism for the future?
Sure. So I guess I can do it in a couple different points. So the tech industry is fast moving, and there's kind of, you know, good news, bad news. The bad news is that if you're just jumping in now, you've missed probably, you know, a decade or two of some really rapid moving technical changes around web development. That's kind of the bad news. Like you missed living through a lot of that stuff, and you could have learned some really cool tools. The good news is that it's moving so fast that anything that anyone knows better than you now will have completely changed within the next 3 to 5 years. So there are some principles that you can learn that will take you farther than getting a huge amount of skill or technical knowledge in any one toolkit. And it is possible to catch up and be ahead of the curve as far as software development. That's an area that I've spent a lot of my life on. I'm actually a self-taught computer programmer. I taught myself mostly when I was under the age of 10. But it's something that if you really care about, you know, getting your fingers into some real software knowledge and getting yourself more embedded in the community, it is very doable. And I would encourage anyone who's interested, you can either contact me at all the contact information that I said, or start, you know, looking around at what it is that you really want to learn and find some good resources online either way.
I'm going to start sprinting, Matt. I'm going to try to beat you there somehow.
All right. Challenge.
So let's shout out how to contact you one more time here.
Best ways to contact me are at my LinkedIn, and my full first name is Matt Naya. So you can either find me as Matt Naya Harp, MattNiah Harp, HARP. Or you can use I use a shortened first name of Matt, which is easier for some people. Or you can also email me directly at mattnaya.harp, and I'll spell my name again, mattnaiah.harp@gmail.com.
Got it. mattnaya.harp@gmail.com. Matt Harp on LinkedIn. And yeah, I appreciate the connection. I appreciate you coming on today and imparting your knowledge.
I appreciate the conversation, Ben. Maybe we can do another one of these again sometime soon and kind of keep the conversation going.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm currently actually on a break from drinking, 60 days straight, actually. Wanted to kind of cleanse myself a little bit, was getting a little out of hand. However, I'm not against drinking. The moment I pick up a beer, I'm going to give you a call because we got to have a cold one in chat.
That sounds great.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.